Morning. Morning, Solomon's Porch. Welcome to EMP. All right. Let's today's verse is Isaiah 66, verse 2. So I guess I'll read it for you guys. Isaiah 66, verse 2, the last chapter of Isaiah, says, "All these things my hand has made." This is God speaking. "All these things my hand has made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, this morning. And thank you, God, that we are here to seek your face. Lord, I humble myself as I share your message. Please use me, God. Please fill me up. And Lord, let me be faithful to share your message and share your heart. Not with my own strength, not with my own knowledge or understanding, but Holy Spirit, would you please speak? I pray that we will understand your word, obey and persevere and bear much fruit, all for your glory and for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. I want to ask everyone a question. How many of you here want to be successful in life? Thank you. Oh, I didn't expect you guys to actually. Oh, yeah. Great. How many of you want to be here successful? According to your own definition of success, who want to live a successful life at the end of your time on earth? And I'm sure, right? Everyone, right? No one wants to live a life that is not successful. And so by the end of this message, you will be able to do that. So let's pay attention. All right, me too. I want to live a successful life, especially in the last maybe 7 or 8 years. You know, success, the concept of success, to live a successful life has been a real priority for me. And I don't know if it's because of my age, because I'm getting older. You know, I'm 45 years old now. And the way I think now versus the way I used to think in my 20s are very different. Every decision I make, I'm thinking, okay, how much time do I have left? You know, when will I retire? You know, how much time do I really have realistically to really do anything meaningful or pursue something long term? And so it makes me think more intentionally. It makes me more focused, and it makes me think more about, you know, what it means to have a successful life. Recently, I read a very helpful book, which I recommend to everyone, called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. I'm not going to go into the details of the book, but Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, a very well-known book. And in this book, the author talks about the three areas that people derive their identity from. So this book talks about three areas that people derive identity, self-worth, and drive their value. And they are, number one, accomplishments, what they have achieved. And number two, possession, what we have. And number three, recognition, how people think about us. Number one, what we have accomplished. Number two, possessions and the wealth that we have. And number three, how people think about us. People's recognition, their approval, their praise. And these three things sound pretty complete, right? Right? I mean, if you have achieved some meaningful things, have significance in life, and you have achieved some things that you're proud of, then say, hey, I've done this and this and this. And then you have enough possessions, you know, maybe financial freedom, as people say, different things, and you have, you know, you're well-to-do. And number three, everybody loves you. I mean, those three things are exactly what the world is after, going after. And that's exactly what everybody wants to achieve in life, right? And this is how the world defines success. This past year, personally, God has been dealing with the area of identity in my life. And identity is something that God has spoken to me over the years, I mean, many years. But this year was like a boot camp of identity for me. About 5 years ago, I started an online business. Online coaching business 5 years ago. And about 3 years ago, I quit my full-time job as a recruiter and started doing this business full-time. And I gotta say, starting a business and trying to get a business takeoff has been the hardest thing I have ever done in my life. The amount of hours you have to put in, the amount of tireless effort, the amount of pressure, the bills, no guaranteed success, the amount of risk I had to take, disappointments after disappointments, without return or result that I hoped, has been the most challenging experience in my life. And not only has it been challenging, it was also an extremely humbling experience too. During the 5 years, because the business has not taken off, my business has not taken off, 5 years has been a lot of work. It's like bottomless pit. You put in water after water or whatever you put in, but you don't see anything. And during this time, no great success to show for, no great achievements, no money, no financial breakthrough, struggling business, no recognition. At least when I was working full-time, because I was in that job for many years, you know, I had the title, I was a director, you know, people respected me, people listened to me, you know, in my work. But now, you know, I left the job 3 years ago, and I'm doing this thing on my own. There's no result, no recognition, no possession, I had nothing. And I realized that when we have nothing to fall back on, when we have nothing to base our identity on, nothing else to depend on, for self-worth and confidence, this is the best time for God to work on our identity. Because I realize that if there is anything at all, anything very small that we can depend on or have our footing on in terms of our identity and self-worth, then we will desperately hang on to that. But when there's nothing, then God can really work in our identity. And this year, because God was really dealing with my identity, I felt that, you know, God was doing a deep work in me. And through the circumstances, you know, whenever I felt that my identity was attacked, whenever I felt like a failure, I felt like a failure a lot this year. Whenever I felt, you know, worthless, and whenever I felt like, you know, what is my value? Because, you know, I lack these things, right? Accomplishments, possessions, and recognition. God would remind me again and again that my identity has to be based on Him only and His love only. That my identity and who I am and my self-worth cannot in any way come from these things that I have done or have not done, but can only be based on God alone and His love. I really liked what P. Kenny said on Sunday. After the first service worship, P. Kenny came up and he was welcoming the, you know, for the service, and he said, I feel like God is asking us, am I enough? You know, God was asking, is God enough? Is God enough for us? Yeah, and I believe God is speaking that to us, you know, in terms of identity. So, if the world says, in order to have a successful life, you need achievements, possessions, and recognition from people, what does the Bible say? Well, let's read Isaiah 66, verse 2 again. Again, this is God speaking. He says, all these things my hand has made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in heart and trembles at my word. So in this verse, it's all these things my hand has made. So what does God mean by all these things? Well, you can find the answer in the previous verse in chapter 66, verse 1. Let's read that. The first verse says, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me, and what is the place of my rest? So when God says, all these things my hand has made, God is saying literally everything. God is saying, heaven and earth my hand has made. Basically everything. Everything my hand has made. Okay? And then he says, but this is the one I will look. You know, on earth, if we work hard, we can achieve some things on earth. We can possess some things on earth. And we can receive some recognition on earth, right? And some people more successful than others. Some people possess more than others. Some people have accomplished more lands, more power, and etc. But no one can own the heaven, right? You know, we can have some success on earth with our own strength, perhaps. But no one can possess the heaven. God has everything. Heaven belongs to the Lord. Heaven is my throne. And God says, all these things that you're going after, all the possessions, all the accomplishments, all the recognition you can possibly have, mean nothing to me. You know why? Because I own everything. God says, heaven and earth, not only do I own them, I created them. I am the origin of all these things, and everything that you want, that you think are so important in life, all the achievements and recognition and possessions, mean nothing to me. And God says, all these things my hand has made, and therefore all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But then it says, but this is the one. Why does God say but? Again, what God is saying is that none of these things impress me. But let me tell you what impressed me. Let me tell you what moved my heart. And then God says, but this is the one to whom I will look. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. And there are three things. Number one, humble heart. So God is talking about three things. Humble in spirit, contrite in spirit, right? And then number three, tremble at his word. Number one, a humble heart. Humility before the Lord. You know, how do we live our lives? Do we say and do we mean that, God, you are God, and I'm not, and therefore I submit to your ways? Or do we agree with God? Do we disagree with God and secretly think that we actually know how to run our lives better than God does? Do we lift ourselves up? Do we want our own recognition instead of giving glory to the Lord? You know, humility is such an important thing to God that, you know, we can do everything else right. We can be pious, we can be responsible, we can be faithful, we can do all these different things, but we can obey and do the right things, but if we are proud before God, you know, God hates that. You know, pride is something that really is that God really detests. And we can do everything right and miss the whole thing because we lack humility. And one more thing where we need to practice humility is submitting to authority structure. The Bible makes it very clear that authority comes from the Lord. And one of the ways that we may not recognize that we're acting in pride is when we do not submit to the authority structure that God has given to us. And we think that we are better, we know better, when again, God is the one who has placed us in whatever authority structure, in our work, in our family, in the church, or whatever it may be. So we need to recognize that, again, God is God, and we are not. Number two, contrite in heart. So this word contrite, it literally means broken and stricken. Broken and stricken. And broken and stricken because of sin. And so the question is, how much do we hate sin? And how much is our heart broken because of sin? And how seriously do we take sin? Yes, it is true that because of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, our sins are forgiven. And even if we sin, even if we fall, our Father God loves us with all of his heart. Our Father God accepts us 100%. And when we sin and when we fall, we can run to the Lord Jesus. We can run to his arms of grace and say, please, we have done wrong, forgive us. And God will forgive us. He will make us as white as snow. But at the same time, we got to recognize that sin is something that is so serious that it caused the Lord Jesus on the cross to die on the cross for us. Sin is not just because we are forgiven freely by the Lord. It does not mean that sin is a small matter. In fact, sin was something so serious that it caused our Lord Jesus Christ to die on the cross. The Bible says resist sin and resist temptation to the point of shedding blood. So how do we respond to sin? You know, when we sin, do we run to the Lord right away to make right with God? Or do we just dwell in sin continually? Is there any sin in our lives that we choose to keep, right? Intentional sins. Or if there is something that we keep falling in the same sin, what practical measures do we use? What practical measures do we take to make sure that we will not fall into the same temptation again? You know, if we are struggling with something that is continual, you know, it would be unwise to think that I can be in the same situation, same environment, same stimuli as the last time that I fell, and to think that, but this time, somehow, I will not fall again. You know, it doesn't work like that. So what practical measures do we take to make sure that we do not sin against the Lord? You know, the grace of God is free. Forgiveness of God is, for us, free. Of course, God paid a great price. It is free. But intimacy with the Lord, that depends on our holiness. How close we can get to the Lord, how close we can draw near to Him, there is a limitation. You know, if we continue to not take sin seriously and we do not live a grow in the life of holiness. What I'm saying is, I believe that the measure we can draw close to the Lord, also, it is correspondent to our measure of growth in holiness as we draw near to God. And number three, last thing, tremble at God's word. In the same way that we take sin seriously, we must take the word of God even more seriously. Trembling at God's word means fearing Him, and whatever He tells us to do, we obey. When God speaks to us, it is not a suggestion. It is not a good idea. It is not another option that we can consider. Oh, that's a good idea. Let me think about that. No, no, no. When God speaks to us, it's a command. It's a word of life that we must follow. Also, I believe trembling at God's word includes remembering when God spoke to us, right? Remembering what God has spoken to us and then making sure that we obey. There was a time many years ago, I remember this very clearly. I was in Central. I was walking up the escalator. I was walking up the Soho escalator. And I was having this conversation with the Lord. And I said, you know, God, sometimes you say something to us. And then we forget. And then it's important. And then you don't remind us. You know, sometimes you say, oh, if it is important, God will remind us. If it is important, God will remind us. And then I was like, yeah, but God, sometimes you don't remind us. How come God is so important and we need to do this? And we forget, you don't remind us, God. And I remember so clearly God said to us, it is because I am your Lord and not your secretary. You know, walking up the escalator, I felt like God said, yeah, why I don't remind you? Because I am your Lord, I'm not your secretary. And I said, oh my goodness, you know. And then I realized, wow, I need to remember the word of the living God. And then I need to make sure that I do it. Trembling at God's word. In God's economy, this is successful life. This is a life that God approves. This is a life that God says, I will look. You know, we can be as rich as we want. We can be a millionaire, even billionaire. If that person lives his life or her life in such a way that he has a humble heart, contrite heart, and tremble at God's word, that life will be a success. But if he does not, he can possess everything, achieve everything. If not, that'll be a failure. Or we can be poor, We may not have achieved a lot in the eyes of the world. We may not have a lot in the eyes of the world. We may not receive the world's recognition. But if we live our life in such a way that we are humble before the Lord and we are contrite in spirit and hate sin, honor God, and we tremble at God's word, that'll be success. So, as we, let's pray. And if we can just, yeah, so let's just pray. You know, to be honest, this is a word that I speak to myself a lot this year, you know, as the Lord really deals with my heart and my life. And, you know, yeah, so I don't know, right? But if the Lord is speaking to us in some way, whether it be area of humility before the Lord or humility in our heart attitude, you know, I thought I was very humble. I used to think I was decently humble, you know. But this year, God showed me so many areas of my life where I was simply not humble. And I had to really humble myself this year. But, you know, whatever areas God is speaking to us, right? Whether it be trembling at His word or hating sin. And as the Lord just speaks to us, let's bring those areas to the Lord. And let's ask for God. Let's ask for forgiveness as we repent. And let's ask for God's strength that we may obey and draw near to the Lord as a result.
Praise unbroken, praise unending, be yours forevermore. Praise untainted, praise unfading. Be yours forevermore. Be yours forevermore. Broken praise, be yours, God, forever. All my praise, be take this life.
Yes, God, Father, we want to submit our lives to you. Let our deeds outrun our words. Let our life outweigh our songs, oh Father God. Thank you, Lord. Lead us. We rely on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's come to the front. Let's get a chair. And then let's come to the front and pray together.